Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Wednesday, Christmas Eve 2025, a daily podcast for Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Ballot Health is implementing temporary safety measures amid a rise in influenza and norovirus cases across its service area in southwest Virginia and northeast Tennessee. The health system says the new restrictions will go into effect today and stay in place until January 14th, when regional conditions will be reevaluated. They include a masking mandate for all team members and healthcare providers in patient areas and during any patient interactions. Visitors who are experiencing flu-like symptoms are asked to stay away, and nursing staff are authorized to limit how many visitors a patient can have. There will be exceptions to those limitations for patients who are children and anyone receiving end-of-life care. The arrival of Christmas signals the end of the calendar year and the onset of the coldest months of the year. For groups that serve people without housing, it's a crucial time. Mason Adams has this story.
January and February are historically the coldest months in Virginia, and that provides a challenge for organizations that serve people without homes. Matt Cruikshank is Roanoke's Human Services Coordinator and oversees the homeless assistance team.
I mean, our work is urgent throughout the year, but it's even more urgent during the cold months. When it gets cold, it's a life and death situation.
The COVID-19 pandemic amplified those challenges. The closure of facilities and social isolation led to changes in the types of people who need services. Don Sandoval is the executive director of the Least of These Ministry.
The mental health crisis has grown exponentially since COVID. The substance abuse population has grown immensely.
The Least of These Ministry runs a day shelter that provides food, laundry, and showers. At night, it runs two warming buses that serve 30 to 50 people per night. Over the calendar year so far, more than 1,800 people have used the buses. One of the most effective strategies is to prepare and place people in more permanent housing.
We all recognize housing is really the core issue that needs to be solved. So developing strategies to create more housing, especially more affordable housing for lower income folks, is really the ultimate solution. That's what we need.
But local governments across the Roanoke Valley are struggling to develop more affordable housing. The problem could get even more complicated in coming months as the Trump administration has proposed cuts to federal housing assistance. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
Coming up in a little bit, you never know what you'll find tucked away in a more than 200-year-old university. In the basement of one building at the University of Virginia, more than 3,500 pieces of historic clothing and costumes.
This is like a cape from the 1860s.
Wow, beautiful.
It is, and this is actually a monkey. Didn't matter what the fur was, they would wear it.
Sandy Hausman tells us about an effort to document the items before they're lost to decay. That story up shortly. Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger continues to appoint key spots on her cabinet. On Tuesday, she announced she had tapped Delegate Mark Sickles to serve as the state's next Secretary of Finance and Tracy DeShazer as Virginia's next Secretary of Administration. Both will need approval from the General Assembly, and a special election to fill the seat being vacated by Sickles will also need to take place before lawmakers return to Richmond next month. Sickles, a Democrat, has played a vital role in helping both Democratic and Republican governors shape the state's budget for years, and DeShazer most recently worked as the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for Human Services with the City of Richmond. A fire early Tuesday morning destroyed the Martinsville Animal Shelter, and the three dogs that were inside did not survive. The Martinsville and Henry County Communications Center received reports of a brush fire in the 300 block of Clearview Drive at around 1 a.m., according to Martinsville Police. Firefighters arrived to find the animal shelter fully involved. Despite efforts, the structure has been deemed a total loss. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Martinsville Fire Marshal's office. A University of Virginia virologist warns the U.S. could face a severe influenza season after the holidays. Health reporter Yijing Wang with member station WHRO has more.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates at least 49,000 flu-related hospitalizations and about 1,900 deaths so far this season. About three-quarters of those are attributed to a new variant called Subclade K. Frederick Hayden from UVA co-authored a study this month showing current flu vaccines appear to be a poor match for Subclade K. But Hayden says people should still get them.
The vaccines are providing some degree of protection, and that's very important, that people will have a much lower risk of having severe illness.
Hayden says the virus is likely to spread more widely during holiday gatherings. He says the best bets to avoid illness are washing hands frequently, taking antiviral medication, and wearing masks to reduce exposures. Yi Qingwei, WHRO News.
Home sales across Virginia slowed down a bit last month. The new report from Virginia Realtors shows there were just under 7,500 closed sales across the Commonwealth in November. That's about 5% lower than the previous year's mark. Sales were also down from October of this year. Officials with the group say the slowdown is in line with typical seasonal patterns, but there also is uncertainty surrounding the federal government shutdown and job cuts for federal employees. Home prices continue to climb in Virginia, with 8 of the 10 markets tracked by the group seeing higher median sales prices compared to November of 2024. For the first time in many years, the Wildlife Center of Virginia is caring for a bobcat kitten. Those wild felines are found in many parts of the state, but they're secretive and most active at night when people can't see them. Alejandra Olvera specializes in wildlife rehabilitation.
Our goal is to teach her not only to fear humans and to survive, but also to act like a bobcat, and that includes teaching her how to hunt.
Feline instincts are strong, so it's really a matter of giving her opportunities to fine-tune her hunting skills. The center has designed a special enclosure where she can romp, climb, and chase small rodents. By spring, Olvera hopes she'll be ready for release. In the meantime, the public can watch this wild kitten on the center's critter cam. It's at wildlifecenter.org. The University of Virginia was chartered more than 200 years ago, and today it's home to many historic collections, 13 million manuscripts, 325,000 rare books, 5,000 maps, and 250,000 photographs. But few people know about one of the school's most colorful collections. Sandy Hausman found it tucked away in a basement and was anxious to share her discovery.
Student Molly Hogan is on a mission, helping Professor Marcy Linton to document a collection of more than 3,500 pieces of historic clothing kept in the basement of UVA's theater building under one of two stages. The pictures she's taking will someday be online, not subject to temperature fluctuations that are common under pipes that supply heat and air conditioning.
The clothes regain a little humidity in the summer, and then they get extremely dried out in the winter, and it's going back and forth, and it's causing things like this fracturing in the fabric just from being in this room.
Linton has been making costumes since she was 15, so when she got the chance to oversee a historic collection of clothing, she was delighted.
Our oldest piece, which is in a box up there, is our 1795 men's outfit. We've got hats and shoes, all different time periods. And we have some furs back here.
She walks past carefully labeled boxes and racks of garments, past decades of American history.
This is like a cape from the 1860s.
Wow, beautiful.
It is, and this is actually a monkey. Didn't matter what the fur was, they would wear it.
There are outfits designed by Dior, Chanel, Pierre Cardin, Bill Blass, Emilio Pucci, and dresses made from colorful prints on fabric that once contained flour, rice, and chicken feed.
You used to buy it in cotton bags, and then when they realized women were saving the white bags and making undergarments and aprons out of the bags, to be resourceful, they started printing. An average bag was about a yard, so if you collected 2-3 bags of the same pattern, you can make yourself a really nice dress.
Some brightly colored clothes from the 19th century were dazzling, but dangerous, dyed with toxic chemicals like arsenic, which turns fabric a lovely shade of green, and mercury that made hat production easier. People knew these things were poisonous, but they figured they weren't swallowing them. Still, Linton says chemicals could take a toll on manufacturers.
You know, it made people paranoid. It made people depressed. The arsenic literally would make you green, and it would make open sores on you. And yeah, it wasn't pretty.
She gets at least 20 items donated each semester from people who figure they'd make a great costume for a campus play. But Linton says she doesn't put these garments on stage. For one thing, few would fit today's students.
I would have to say, on average, especially the 19th century garments, there isn't anything with a waist over 25 inches.
And these clothes are, in her opinion, too valuable to risk damage by being worn.
When you think about all of these items, they're the most intimate cultural heritage we have because they were worn by the people in that time period.
Alas, she says, there's no budget for the collection. no climate-controlled storage areas, or ways to showcase what is now hidden away. She'd like to collaborate with other faculty members in exploring history, sociology, anthropology, and other disciplines through clothes.
Bonnie Hagerman teaches a class called Fashion and Feminism. Everybody in that class this semester took a garment from this collection and did a research project on it and tied it into the stuff they were learning in class.
If she had a space, Linton says, she could build a whole curriculum around this collection. So she keeps writing grant proposals and making plans to put images and details of each intriguing item on a website where our future can find clothing from our past. I'm Sandy Houseman.
The University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. Now checking out your holiday forecast, we'll have no white Christmas this year, but it will be warm and rainy. We're expecting a mix of sun and clouds around the region today. More sun starting out, more clouds later on, breezy. Highs in the upper 50s to 67 in Roanoke and Danville. We'll see some clouds tonight as rain moves in primarily in areas west, and lows from 35 in Fredericksburg and Richmond to around 50 for Bristol and Wise. For Christmas Day, cloudy, fairly breezy and warm with scattered showers. High temperatures in the upper 50s for Fredericksburg to around 70 for the Danville area. Lower 60s for much of the region. And more rain on Friday, a little breezy, with a wide range of highs from 40 in Fredericksburg, Richmond, and Charlottesville to the upper 50s in the far southwest. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. We will not have a podcast on Christmas Day, but we'll be back on Friday. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser. Have a happy and safe holiday.